Is it okay? You're fine, because I want to look good. It's great to hear all about the website and how God is using that ministry. It's a powerful ministry, and it was so good. Thank you, Ian, for giving us that, and really appreciate that. I still don't know how it works or what it all means, but that's okay. I didn't understand the Bible when I started in that either, so it's good. Brian and Rosalie, it's so good to have you guys here. I'm almost nervous to speak in your presence, but glad you're here. And you notice I said the word almost. Nervous. It's good. And Leah is back. Sorry, Leah, to draw attention to you, but you're back. I'm so excited that you're here. It's good. I got more excited over you than I did Brian and Rosalie being sitting there. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Good. I've really appreciated where we've gone, where we've journeyed, following Jesus, going deeper with Him, and I love that. I love this series, and we're going to conclude today with it. But I got to start by telling you about my Major Prophets class in Bible College. I had a teacher. I thought she might have been new to teaching, but she wasn't. She taught for a number of years when I took her class. And she had taught this class, Major Prophets, and I was so excited about it. And I came into class, and the first day she said, "All right, we're gonna be discussing the Major Prophets, and I know it's really kind of dull and droning, but I hope most of you can focus while I talk about it. I really do." And she was really, she had this kind of look on her face, and she'd stand at her lectern, and she'd say, "And we're gonna talk about Isaiah, we're going to go through Isaiah, and it's probably the most boring book you'll ever read, and you know, but get excited about it as best you can, because I know I can." And I remember thinking to myself, man, I don't even know if I want to go to class, because she's just so, and she said, "You know, you're here in my heart today, and this is how it is, you know." And the student finally, one day, the student, it wasn't me, I wish it had been, because then I could have told it better, but he said funny in one class, he said, "Teacher, professor," she was in the middle of teaching Isaiah, and she was teaching this passage actually that we're going to look at today, Isaiah 42. See, I'm giving you a little hint, turn to it. And he's waving madly. And when that happens, usually teachers aren't so eager. They'll usually choose the person next to you to answer the questions. But you teachers are all going, "Don't give away our secret." But, and anyway, so she goes, "Yes." And he says, "I have to tell you. I have to tell you. I have been so excited about Isaiah. Because it's changed my life as I've read it." And he's crying. And she said, "Oh, quit it. We don't want any of that in class. Sit down." So she said. You ever been there? You ever had a teacher like that? Don't want any of that class? Are you guys with me? Are you taking on a journey? It's the best story I've ever had. I mean, he felt just kind of, oh. She said, "When you talk about the major prophets, it's got to be dull. It's got to be boring. And you got to drone on and on. I learned that." So he asked, "Where did you go to seminary? Because I don't want to go there." Pretty good question. He said, "Because it's in my heart." He said, "I love Isaiah. There's such power in it." Isaiah is a powerful, exciting book in the Old Testament. And I thought it well, as we are examining following Jesus, that we would be amiss if we do not include Isaiah's prophecies referred to as servant passages. Because these passages describe how we can live in a positive way that influence people positively. And when you talk about serving, you need a good attitude about serving. It's a heart thing. And so in the books of Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah books, yeah, Isaiah 42, 49, 50, 52, and 53, they're all servant passages. And we're going to look at all five chapters today. No, we're not. I can tell the thrill on One of you expressed it publicly because you're a servant. The others of you just went, oh no, my roast. Don't worry, it'll be fine, it'll survive. These chapters are so detailed and they're so prophetic as they point to God's ultimate servant, Jesus Christ. And they're not dull, they're not droning, they're not boring. This is amazing stuff we can glean from and learn from in this passage. Yet you have to desire within your heart the ability to learn from God. Through Isaiah's prophecies, they were recorded hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. It records the attitudes and behavior Isaiah described. He defines Jesus in detail. There are areas in which we as servants of Christ need to develop in order to better serve our Savior. Because we're all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Oh yeah, you say it.
Amen.
Yeah, you're all. Amen. Was I supposed to say it, dear? Yeah. If you take these principles from the Word of God and you apply it to your life will change. And it will be a good change. The first principle for good change is knowing godly power is in gentleness and humility. We're not used to that. Gentleness and humility? Our world has taught us well that in order to gain respect and attention, we must be loud and boisterous. I look like this all the time. God isn't like that. Why were people drawn to Jesus? Crowds were drawn to him. Why? The first thing, and Isaiah wrote it in these servant songs, is that the Lord's servant would manifest a spirit of sensitivity and restraint. Look at Isaiah 42. The servant of the Lord. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. Wow, this is good stuff. This is exciting stuff to read. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice. The Gospels never refer to Jesus as brash or boisterous. Instead, his power was always demonstrated in a gentle and in a humble manner. Power is not associated with loudness, the boisterous voice. And the Lord taught us that time and time and time again. Power is in humility. It's in weakness you are strong. And Jesus so effectively portrayed that power. And so if you want good change, know that godly power is in gentleness and humility. Good change also, secondly, is godly service requires compassion and grace. If you want to serve like God, you got to be compassionate and do it with grace. If you look at verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. Jesus constantly aligned himself with fairness, righteousness, integrity, honesty, and an absolute adherence to truth. He spent himself on those who were oppressed, those who were misjudged, those who were misunderstood, those who were victimized. His compassion broke all boundaries. No one was excluded from Jesus, and no one still is. The amazing thing about Jesus was that he attracted crowds, and he didn't have a target group, as every good church program will tell you. You better have a target group before you can start ministering for the Lord. Choose your target group, pray about it, see who you will target, and then go out there and start targeting that group. Jesus didn't do that. People listened to him. And he didn't have any gimmicks to attract them. How could this be? How could Jesus so effectively draw people closer to God? Because he was his son. But more than that, because he served with compassion and grace. I mean, you think about it. Just think for a moment. Someone who's very dear in your life, somebody who walked alongside of you, who was somebody whom you look to and you say, that person just has been a mentor, or has been a good friend, or has been a solid person in my life. Usually those are people who are compassionate. People you just want to be around. They're kind, they lift your day, they'll tell the truth, they'll let you know. But they'll do it in kindness and with grace. People are attracted to those kind of people. They just are. People, I'll tell you, when you help someone, that speaks louder than any preaching you'll ever do. You know that? This cup of coffee thing, this was great. I love it. It's awesome. I'm already planning who's going to get this cup of coffee. You know, God, you're going to lead me to a person that needs this week. I can hardly wait. Compassion and grace. That's what the Love One Another Project's all about. It's been deepening you with God, with yourself, and with other people. And now you just get to help someone. I love that. Look at this video. Because it'll explain, I think, a little bit better than I can about being compassionate. Oh, it's coming. Leela, there it is.
Pass it on. A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
I better get out of here.
I couldn't resist that. I thought that was great. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whatever his name is. I just love that. And then she didn't get enough help. And she went a little further. See what happens when you help yourself? Sometimes everything does fall down on you. That's why we need each other. And Jesus knew that. And I believe what Jesus left for us is he left something. And that is, he left us with this. Love one another. With compassion and grace. Love one another, so much so that you'll build each other up, that you'll encourage one another. See, Jesus left a lot for us, and that's himself. And whether we recognize it or not, the world out there in the Jerusalem recognizes Jesus through us, through our compassion and our grace. I think that the epitaph of every Christian should be that no, that person doesn't care who you are. They just want you to enjoy life more. I mean, when you come into a room, people should go like, oh, wow. Wow. They're here. See, others should look forward to us entering a room because of the joy that's here. Joy in Christ. Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Most of you are weak. You need a little strength. Joy of the Lord. We have Jesus right here. Tap into that. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. You have peace today. If you want it. And enjoy life like you've never enjoyed it before. How? By demonstrating compassion to whoever it is that abhors you. That's compassion. That's joy. That's servant. You've gone back to my major prophets class and went, oh no, he's not talking about something exciting. I don't want to sit down and coffee with somebody that I don't really like. Maybe you need to. Maybe you need to show grace. How are you today? Are you caught up in target groups, the numbers game? You're missing out on what ministering for Christ really means. Are you compassionate? Are you gentle? Are you loving? Or are you boisterous, strong, and pretentious? One morning, while Jesus was teaching in the temple, the Jewish leaders brought to him a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery. And the woman was like a bruised reed, as Isaiah says, caught in a sinful attempt to meet the deep longings of her soul. And Jesus lovingly protected her from the violence of the self-righteous mob. He did not condone her sin, but neither did he condemn her. And by his grace, he allowed a bruised reed to stand tall again with dignity. Demonstrating grace is Jesus Christ. How are you at demonstrating grace to those who've sinned against you? When someone hurts me or offends me or persecutes me, at that moment, I have a choice to make. To show grace or walk away hurt and offended and never have anything to do with them again. Christ was never like that. He showed grace and shows grace every single moment of life for us. And he expects us as his people, as his children, to demonstrate the power of grace to other people. That is serving the Savior. That's following Jesus. I hope this morning you understand that acting as God's servant is not a role that Jesus did, that he gave his life up. Because I'll tell you what, every moment that you show grace and compassion in gentleness and humility, you have to sacrifice what you want in order to do so. You have to surrender yourself to what you think is right and say, no, I'm going to go a little deeper here and understand Jesus a little better and think of others above myself. That's the attitude that Jesus carried. He made himself nothing, taking on the nature and demeanor of a servant. So we must devote ourselves to be humble and faithful in service to others. Even buying a cup of coffee. And I almost bet the Lord may stretch you a little bit further. You'll buy them a cup of coffee, and they'll win the car. And then you'll see Jesus develop you further. You can change. These are good ways to change. You better believe you can change. You can change by asking the Holy Spirit to help you every day. You say, Lord, I need help. Depend on the Holy Spirit who lives within us. I just dare you to do that and watch your life change. A little further in Acts, Brian Kent alluded to Acts. Acts 2 verse, I think it's 17 in the scriptures. In these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Second thing you need to do is study the Bible. Get into the Word. And that's why we give you these. So you can actually use them. You can go through and you can note. There's Bible readings. Get you reading the Bible. Get you through the Bible so you can understand a little bit better. That's important. That's why we do this for you. It's important. We think this is so important to get in the Word of God. This will help you, this little scheduler. Howard Hendricks, great teacher, and got to sit under his teachership for a bit. He described a true servant of Christ as a person with a magnet in his heart and a compass in his head. The magnet in the heart is Jesus Christ. The compass in the head and in the hands is the Bible. Are we asleep with the compass in our hands? It's time to wake up. It's time to change. God has a plan for your life. This is so phenomenal. Begin living the way Jesus lived, and you'll have a phenomenal life. Let's pray. The world is to see God's character. We got to observe Jesus' characteristics in the way he was a servant. And Isaiah talked quite openly about this. But Mark 10 also says, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, that is Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Maybe you've been walking around seeing how people should live for you. Maybe it's time to change and start living your life with Christ within you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed today, we're going to be coming to this table of the Lord, and maybe you just need to talk to God a little bit today and say, God, I don't like change. I don't like it, God, when you take me down that deeper road, or when you take me to on a path I don't want to go. Maybe you've been neglecting just spending time with him because you know there's somebody you need to talk to and deal with, that you need to show compassion and grace to. And so maybe you haven't really liked this morning, much like my Major Prophets class. But you can change, because Christ is within you. He's above you, he's before you, and he's behind you, and he's within you. And you can say right now, Jesus, I need change. I need to go deeper. I need to understand better gentleness, humility, compassion, and grace. And maybe you need to say, Lord, I don't know, but even when I come on Sundays and I sit here and I worship you, Jesus, I hope people see you as I worship. Because it's you I do worship. Maybe it's easy to come to church, but it's hard to start leaving and living that same life that you live here. Maybe you need to say, God, I just want to live a gentle and humble life, full of grace, compassion, and truth. Father God, we're about to embark on this table, and this is a reminder of how compassionate you are, what grace you extend to us, because we don't deserve what happened to you, that you gave your life, that you sacrificed everything for us out of love. Lord, that's hard. It's hard for us to even sacrifice a little bit for you. And yet you take us on that journey so we can become more gentle and more humble, so we can follow you deeper. And for that, we're grateful. So we pray your blessing, Lord, as we partake together around this table, to your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask the elders, Pastor Peter,